So this is Bava Metzia, Lamed Gimel, Lamed Aleph, and Lamed Gimel, Lamed Bet. It's actually the last Mishnah and the last Gemara of Perek Elo Metzius. So it brings to an end the Sugyot of Hashavas Aveda in Bava Metzia. And this is a little bit of a, what I call a treat shiur, because the topic is a little bit lighter and a little bit more, I don't know, interesting. Not a gadek really, but not controversial. I don't know. You'll judge for yourselves. So the Mishnah starts. Avedaso v'avedas aviv, avedaso kodemis. Let's say you found a lost object that you know belongs to your father, and you also see that there's an object that you know you can pick up that belongs to you, but it's, you know, it's hard to get. It's not something you can just pick up right now. You have to go get it. So basically, you're choosing between returning the property to your father or returning property to yourself. And in this case, it's really just which one do you do first? And the answer is, you do yours first. Avedaso kodemis. Avedaso avedas rabo shelo kodem. What happens if it's between your possession and your Rebbe's possession? We haven't yet defined what your Rebbe is. Again, you go first. That's not so interesting. Avedas aviv v'avedas rabo shel rabo kodemis. This is where it gets interesting.
Even if his father told him Torah?
Hold on. If it's between your father and your Rebbe, so you pick up your Rebbe's possession first. He goes first. And the Mishnah, out of character, explains why. No, usually the Mishnah doesn't do this. You leave it for the Gemara, but the Mishnah feels the need, I guess, in this situation to explain itself. And says, Sha'aviv hevi'o l'olam hazeh, v'rabo shalim du chachma mevi'o l'chaye olam haba. Why? Because your father is your biological father, in the sense that he brought you into the world and he takes care of you. That's good. But your Rebbe is the one who's going to send you to olam haba, because he's going to give you the spiritual tools that are needed in order to get the olam ha'emes, which is more, I guess, valuable than olam hazeh. That's the Mishnah's explanation for this clause. Obviously, we're going to have to discuss this.
It's also when rescuing, isn't it?
Yeah, that's exactly. Well, hold on a second. V'im aviv chacham shel aviv kodemes. But if your father happens to be a talmid chacham, then all the rules change, and your father goes first. So an Ama Aretz father loses out to a Rebbe, who loses out to a talmid chacham father.
It's the fact that he's a Talmud Chacham, or is the fact that he taught you Torah?
Well, the Mishnah says it's because he's Talmud Chacham, but Simon's raising an interesting point, which is, what does it matter that he's a Talmud Chacham? He has to bring you to Olam Haba. So we're going to have to get to that when we get to the sources.
The assumption is he's an Am Haaretz.
The assumption is that he's an Am Haaretz, yes. Most people were Am Haaretz, and most people were. Hayah aviv rabo nosin masui, maniach es shel rabo, v'achar kach maniach es shel aviv. What happens if you see that they're each carrying a burden, or if their animals are carrying burdens? So you relieve the Rebbe first, and then you relieve the father. Hayah aviv v'rabo b'beis ha-shevi, podes rabo v'achar kach podes aviv. All right, this is the most stark. If they were both captured, imagine they're on the, you know, they're on the plane, right? And they're ransoming hostages. So you're not supposed to ransom any of the hostages. But if you do, you do your Rebbe first, and then your father. V'im aviv chacham, podes aviv v'achar kach podes rabo. But again, if he's a chacham, you're po to him, and then you're po to his rabbi.
Why do you say?
So you're po to, yeah.
Why is anyone supposed to ransom any of the hostages?
Well, there's the famous case back in the Middle Ages about the Maharami Ruttenberg, who was captured.
Right.
And he gave a tzivoy, he gave a decree that they should, and the guy were trying to ransom him, that nobody should pay the ransom, because he said, once you pay the ransom for me, they're going to just start capturing Tamina Chachamim. So they didn't pay the ransom, and he died in jail. And then they ransomed his body.
But I thought that was an exception. The whole
well, you're right. Obviously, Pidyon Shvuyim is important. But I guess that's the exception. So maybe, I guess I was overstating. I was also thinking more about, modern Israeli state in terms of, we don't negotiate with terrorists and things like that. We just kill the terrorists and then take the hostages back, ideally. But that was just a side comment. So that's the Mishnah.
Can I just ask, a question about the structure of the Mishnah. In not all of the cases did it bring the exception of the brothers of
Yafemod. Yafemod.
Some and others not.
Good. Excellent. Well, it's not some. One. There's
one.
Three cases.
The one in the middle,
does not get the Chacham. So the Radbaz points that out, and he says it's Lav Dafka. He says it doesn't really matter. It applies to the middle one, but there are obviously going to be some who say that for some reason it doesn't apply to the middle one. But we're not going to talk about that. We are going to talk about something related to that, but not that. But good eye. Anything else? Okay. Okay, so that is the Mishnah. I will point out on the words Avedas Kodemus, let's just quickly look at Tosfos. I'm not going to spend too much time on this, but Tosfos on the side says, Vim Tomar. Everybody see where I'm looking? The second Tosfos, the second to last one. Im Tomar, Avidasov Avidas Rabo, Vichavod Aviv, Ezu Kodem. What happens if it's between your Aveda, the Aveda of your Rebbe, so this already we know, but then it's Kavod Aviv, meaning some kind of more abstract case of Kavod Aviv. So what wins? Right? Not Hashavat Aveda of your father, but Kibud Aveim, like a straight up Daraisa Kibud Aveim. Somehow we can make a, I can actually think of an example, but we'll hold off. Ezu Kodem. E Avedaso Halo Kavod Aviv Adif. The man number parakamad kedushin mashal ben ve'em kavod aviv. What is that? Mashal ben ve'em kavod aviv. Hello, avidas rabo kodemis. Hold on a second. Man number parakamad kedushin.
Question: ve'im, not ve'em.
Im. Ah, sorry, you're right. Mashal ben ve'im.
No, mashal ben. Someone's coming of a mashal.
Shal ben v'im kavod aviv v'lo aviv des ah v'im kavod aviv. All right. If you say kavod aviv is adiv,
Michel ben.
Michel ben.
It belongs to the son.
Ah, Michel ben. You're right. Michel ben v'im kavod aviv v'lo aviv des rabbi kodemes. Ah, so in other words, he says it's, you know, you go around in circles here because you're going to lose out to your father, and then your father is going to lose out to the aveda of the rebbe. Kedam Leil, Ani Hashem, which is how you know that they have to give kavod to your Rebbe. That's from Ani Hashem. V'yeshlomar avidas hakodemes teicha da'aviv nene miguf ha-behema. So here he gives his answer. His answer is that your avida will go first. It goes first. Why? Because kavod aviv, this is an important tosos. What are the limits of kibud avim? Is it that anything your father and your mother tell you to do, you have to do, even if it impinges on your, you know, money or anything like that?
Mamashlo.
Why not?
It says so in Rishman Base.
What is it? So what is it? So what are the borders?
There are certain things like you're learning Torah, you don't need to listen to your father.
Okay.
You do what you want to do.
Okay.
If he tells you to be Mechala Shabbos, you don't listen to him.
Okay. But if he tells you to buy him a burrito, do you buy him a burrito?
His food?
Yeah.
Yes.
So why, if you have to, if you're obligated, he has to pay you back for the burrito? Yeah. What?
From his money.
What are you talking about?
You don't have to pay for your money to get your dad food.
Ah. Okay.
Depends on the your situation.
I think the mitzvah of kibbutz aviv is to serve him food, not buy him food.
Yeah. Okay, so Tosa says not like that. Tosa says no. Hecha da'aviv nana migufa behema, where the father is going to be nana from the body of the animal, meaning directly chayav lechabdo kigon shchot li behemtecha. If he says shechta behema for me, you shechta a behema. You don't. He doesn't have to pay you back. You shechta a behema. Avahinicha li aved v'tavi li lecho shagam la'avka shahaveda ela sharotza lecho. But if he's just stam asking you to do something, and it's not for his comfort or because he needs it, then he's just asking you to do it. That's not part of kibud aveim. In other words, if your father just says to you, "I don't want you to take that job because I don't want you to take that job," right? So that doesn't mean that you have to not take the job if you want it. He's just he's expressing his desire, but you taking the job or not taking the job doesn't improve his quality of life in any way. It's not going to feed him or not feed him or anything like that. So kibud aviv does not extend that far. So in this case, where it's avedaso versus kibud aviv, so if the aveda is going to directly impact the father, so then yeah. But if not, then it's a side point. Where do we see this coming up, by the way? Where do you see this coming up? Where kavod aviv versus avidaso? Yeah, so the Rishonim, why marriage? Where he tells you to marry?
Son, yeah.
Right. So you don't have to listen to him about who to marry. But what about the case of Dama ben Nesina? This is where Rabbi Rasner mentions over here. The case of Dama, who is Dama ben Nesina? He was the non-Jew the Kohanim came because they needed. Well, the beginning of the story is they needed the precious stone for the Choshen. And he said he had it, but it was underneath his father's head, and his father was sleeping, so he couldn't get it. So they thought he was just asking for a higher price, so they upped the price, but he said, listen, I can't give it to you. Then they started to walk away. Then his father woke up, he ran after them, and he gave it to them for the original price, and Hashem rewarded him with the Parah Aduma. So the Shomer Yishonim asked, he's losing a lot of money here. He's losing a lot of money versus his father. His father's covered, but so his money should come first. So they give two answers. One is relevant to us, which is that he's not just being mechabed his father by not waking him up. By waking him up, he'll cause tsar to his father. We're going to return to that later, which is a more severe form. Of course, all of this is with the caveat that he's not Jewish. But that we have put that to the side. The other thing that we say over there, which is relevant to some other things that we've discussed in the past, which is that in halacha does not recognize opportunity cost. It doesn't recognize loss of gains. I don't know if that's the right phrase for it. In other words, the concept of davar ha'aved, which is an important concept in halacha, which is that in many cases you're not obligated to lose money. That doesn't include opportunities to make money. So in this situation, Dama ben Asina doesn't have money that he's losing. He's just missing out on an opportunity to make money from the rabbis who came knocking on his door. That's not considered hashavat aveda of his own property. So that's why it would not be included.
Isn't it easy just to say the whole thing is lefnei mishuras hadin anyway?
But why is it lefnei mishuras hadin? Why?
Mm-hmm.
If it's
he decided to do that, he didn't have to.
But if he was Jewish, would he be allowed to wake up his father? That's the question. Is he allowed to wake up his father?
No, the question was why he had to accept less money.
But why didn't he wake up his father to begin with? That's the question that I'm asking. That we're trying to ask.
Maybe you should just say gezel sheina.
There's no such thing as gezel sheina. Don't be a jerk, but there's no, like, you won't find a seif in Shulchan Aruch that mentions gezel sheina.
We're learning Hilchas Kibbutz Av, that anything somebody who's not mechuyach is Kibbutz Av.
Right, I said before, he's a goy, so that kind of makes things more, but we're learning from him. We learn from him.
Okay. I have another question, which is, I was always under the impression that although we're supposed to do first of all, we all talk, whatever your parents say, you have to do. Then afterwards, I learned that there are only three things which are kibbud of, and it seems to be stretched here. And there's shchait, this behemah is connected to feeding him.
Yes, that's exactly what Tosas is pointing out.
Okay.
Tosas is exactly pointing out that when you do something for your parents, you're obligated to do it when it's for them.
Not when
it's something that they want for you.
What I'm asking is kibbud only when we're talking here in the Gemara, the three specific mitzvahs.
I mean, there's kibbud harim. There's also yirat. There's also morah ha'av. There's two different mitzvahs, and that covers more things than that.
It says kovet.
Yeah. Right now we're talking about kovet.
Kibbud harim is feeding, dressing, and I can't remember.
And providing shelter.
Providing shelter. Okay. Yeah.
There is more than that. There's don't sit in their seat. But that's morah, actually. Those are all morah. Don't sit in their seat. Don't contradict them. Don't use their name.
They're talking about kovet. That means that if you have an aveda and it wasn't connected to one of those three, your Aveda would come first before the Kovet?
Well, your Aveda comes first no matter what.
It says it's Kovet Aviv.
Right. So, no, I meant your Aveda comes before their Aveda. Your Aveda comes before their Aveda, yeah. Your Aveda comes before their Kovet in all cases where it's not directly for them. Yeah.
So Kovet Aviv trumps Aveda.
Yeah, it trumps your father. It trumps your father telling you to go get a haircut. Your father tells you to go get a haircut, and you find you have a piece of property on the other side of town that you want to go get. You go get the piece of property because you getting the haircut is not, it's for you.
Yeah, like me, I was before intermarrying. My parents begged me to go and get a haircut and a beard cut that I didn't want.
Okay, well, if you should listen to them. All things being
equal. Eventually, I went.
It's up to you.
Eventually, I went.
There's an Indian. There's an Indian to listen to your parents. There's definitely an Indian to listen to your parents. That was a joke, guys. Of course there's an Indian to listen to. Okay. Rav Schachter has a joke that he likes to say. There's a mitzvah that people don't realize still applies nowadays. It's not a mitzvah. Kibbud Av V'Em, it still applies even after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. So the Gemara says as follows. Mina hane mili. Now, which clause is this talking about? So this is actually talking about the first thing, which is that your Aveda comes before everybody else's Aveda. That seems like It needs explanation. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav, Amar Kra, Efes ki lo yeh becha evyon, shelcha kodem leshelcha shel kol adam, lo yeh becha evyon. So they darshan the word becha, that you should not be the evyon, right? So yours comes before everybody else's. But then, not to let us get too far away, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav, kol ha-makayim ba'atzmo kach, sof ba'li tekach. If you always act this way, you will become an Evyon. In other words, Rabbi Yehuda is strongly advocating a Lifnim Mishuras Adin approach to this halacha. Rashi says, Av bishlo hitilo alav akasov yesh l'adam likanis Lifnim Mishuras Adin v'lo l'daktek shali kodem im lo behefsed mochiach v'im tamid b'daktek porek me'alav og milot chasadim v'tzdaka v'sof shi'itzdarech l'briot. Rashi says. It says, you should try to do Lifnim Mishuras Adin as much as you can, unless it's for sure that you're going to lose your stuff. In other words, if you're for sure going to lose your stuff, then go for your stuff. But if it's anything less than for sure, then you should help the other person out first.
When you described it at the beginning, you did talk about it as a priority. It's first this, then that.
Yeah.
Not that it becomes in place of.
Right.
That, you know, but if there's...
Yes, we're talking about Kadima here. Kadima.
The distinction is that you're going to lose out, or one
yes.
will lose out.
Yes.
There's a different weight.
If you're sure that you're going to lose out, then you should definitely go for your stuff. Okay. We'll return to that later when we get to the sources.
What about if it's the other way around? His will be lost out. If you don't go for... Yours won't. If you go for his first, you can get them both.
That's where I was saying. That's where Rashi is.
You go with his first, his will be lost.
Yeah, so that's where Yehuda says you should really get used to going for theirs first. Even though you don't have to min hadin. You don't have to min hadin. But as we're going to see later, because people tend to rationalize things to themselves, so they may make a big deal out of their own property when it's not really a big deal, and then they'll never help out anybody else.
But I think you're talking about where you can do both.
Yes.
I think it's only you're talking if there's conflict. If you're in a situation where... You can go and get your avad at any time, but if you don't go and get your rebbe's or your father's in the next half an hour, then it's going to be lost. Then obviously you do it the other way around, because then you can do both. Because if you do yours first, right. You won't be able to do both. So it's only when it's like one or the other, right?
Well, it is lifnim mishuras hadin, didn't even in that situation, but it's a good lifnim mishuras hadin. It's definitely encouraged. Okay. Haya aviv rabon nosin maser. Okay, this is the case where they're both carrying something. This is really all the cases. Tana rabbanan. The Braisa teaches. Rabo sha'amru, rabo shalimdo chachma, velo rabo shalimdo mikra o mishnah. Divrei Meir. Who is the Rebbe over here? So the first thing it says is that it's not your first, second, third, fourth, fifth grade Rebbe. It's not the Rebbe that taught you chumash or even Tanakh, it sounds like. Mikra is either chumash or all of Tanakh. It's not that. It's not even the one who teaches you Mishnah. It's the one who teaches you Chachma. What's Chachma?
Gemara.
It's got to be Gemara. It's got to be the understanding behind everything. So it's a person who taught you a deep, deep form of knowledge. That's Rabbi Meir's opinion. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Kol Sharov Chachma Sohimenu. Whoever it is that you learned most of your knowledge from. Now, a simple reading of Rabbi Yehuda, how many rabbis do you have? Only one. According to Rabbi Meir, how many rabbis do you have?
Only one.
Could be many. According to Rabbi Meir, whoever taught you Chachma, if you went to YU and you went to, in my case, if you went to Reshit and then you went to, place, I don't know, many different yeshivas, L'chora, it would be all those Rebbeim, it would seem. Whereas according to Rabbi Yehuda, there's only one. It's whoever you learned most of your Chachma from. Right, that's going to be the phrase. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Afilu lo yireina vela b'mishna achas, zeu rabo. Rabbi Yossi is all the way at the other end of the spectrum. He says, anybody who ever taught you anything is your Rebbe.
Two letters.
Yeah, even one Mishnah. Anything. Amar Rava. So that's the Braisa. That's all the opinions amongst the Tanaim. There are three opinions amongst the Tanaim. Either only one who taught you Chachma, but basically it sounds like anyone, or the only the one who taught you most of your Chachma. And then Rabbi Yossi, who says anybody who taught you anything ever. Amar Rava, Kagon Rav Schora, the Asbaran Zuam Alisteron. So they're regaling each other with tales of what it was like in class. So Rava says, I remember my Rebbe, it could be this is like, you know, this is his Cheder Rebbe, who taught him what the words Zuama Listron, What is Zuam Alistrin? So actually says, I believe, it's... said the Taurus Hayeshnu Vloisi Odea Maklihu. It was a certain kind of kli. Vlamadni Shu Kaf Gedola. It was a big spoon. Shemisalkin Bo Zoem Akdera Vakalachat Litzdadin. It was some kind of special spoon that they used to stick in order to remove, what was it? In order to remove the froth from the pot. That's what Zuam Alistron. So he taught him just what the words meant. And that was good enough to be considered his Rebbe. Shmuel, kara mani alea hau mirabanan diaspora echad yored laemas hashechi, vechad poseach. Shmuel, when his Rebbe who taught him the following thing died, he ripped his shirt for his Rebbe who taught him this part of the Mishnah that said the amat hashechi. Amat hashechi was, there were these keys, I believe. I didn't actually go through the whole thing. There are these keys that you have to thrust your arm all the way in. Into the lock in order to get it to open the door in the Beis HaMikdash. So there were keys, and one of them had to be thrust like really deep. Anyways, that's what it was. And Shmuel actually ripped Kriya when this Rebbe died, even though he only taught him one thing. Okay. Hal mir Rabbanan, sorry, Amar Ula. Now Ula says something. Talmid Chacham Shabbavel. Rashi explains that Talmidei Chachamim we're talking about here are stam, like students in yeshiva or rabbis who just talk. They talk to each other. They would all rip one for the other. In other words, anytime a rabbi died, they would rip for each other. However, Ula says, in Bavel, while they rip for each other, they don't consider each other rabbo muvhak for avedat, hashavat avedah. So there are two thresholds here. In terms of ripping kriya, you rip for a Rebbe, even if he's taught you only a little bit. But when it comes to Hashavas Aveda, in order for him to go before your father, he has to be Rabbo Muvhak.
First place, it's not a choice, one or the other. Ranking. There's no ranking required to give kavod to...
I see what you're saying. Yeah, why not? Yeah. Well, Tosas actually says even further. Tosas says, "Ava bishenu." The last Tosas, "Ava bishenu yodeh yoter lefisha lomdin zemizah." He points out they don't know more. Each one doesn't know more than the other. They're just recognizing that other person is a Torah personality. So he says, "Vim tomar." But wait a second. I mean, in Perak Oreg, it says in Gemara Shabbos, "Chayav likra al adam kasher." You're supposed to rip anytime an adam kasher dies. We don't do this now, but that was the din of the Gemara. You're supposed to rip anytime a good person dies. So not even just a Rebbe, and it's not limited to Bavel. Afilu lo ya b'shasi tes neshama, even if you weren't there. V'yishlamer d'hacha meir b'kera she'eno mitacheh k'din tamir al rabo. There are different kinds of kriya. There's a kriya that you can fix afterwards, and then there's a kriya that you can't fix afterwards. So this is talking about a kriya that you can't fix afterwards. So that is reserved only for tamid chachamim, and they used to do that in Bavel for each other. Okay, so here you say that it's Rabbi Mufak. This is a great story. Rav Chista mei Rav Huna. Rav Chista, who is a student of Rav Huna, asked him, Talmid v'tzarich lo rabo mai. What happens if you're a Talmid and your Rebbe loses something and your father loses something, but you're the kind of Talmid that your Rebbe, he needs you. In what sense does he need you? I think Rashi explains, you ask good questions, you improve his knowledge, you sharpen him, and also you know things he doesn't know. In other words, let's say you come from America, you come from YU, so you know all of Rabbi Soloveitchik's Torah, and you're learning in Americas, and nobody there knows Rabbi Soloveitchik's Torah, but you're in one of the big shiurs, so every once in a while, when the Rebbe says something, you say something you heard from Rabbi Soloveitchik. So who's the Rebbe here? So you're still the Talmud, but on the other hand, the Rebbe relies on you to know what Rabbi Soloveitchik said. For example, this didn't go over well. Because, as I said, Rav Chista is Rav Huna's student.
He's dissing his Rebbe.
Amar le Chista, Chista, lo tzrichna lecha, at tzrichas li. Rav Huna said to Rav Chista, he says, I don't need you, you need me. Now, this next line is interesting. Ad arbayin shanin ikapti ahadade, velo aili lagabe ahadade. So how does the art school actually translate this? Because there's two different ways of doing this. Yeah, so the article does it the way that most explanations are, which is that this is a new statement, which just tells the continuation of the story, which is that for 40 years, basically, they were makbid, one and the other. It was awkward for 40 years, and they didn't talk to each other. But there's another way to read it, which now that Rabbi Rosner actually pointed it out, I think it's much better. This is the way the Maharam Shif reads it, that this is actually a continuation of what Rav Chisda said. What Rav Huna said. Rav Huna said to Rav Chisda, I don't need you, you need me, and you've needed me for 40 years. Right. Why 40 years? Because what did Moshe Rabbeinu say at the end of his life? He said, you never understood anything until right now, he said to the Bnei Yisrael. He said, it took you 40 years to understand me. And that could be what Rav Huna was saying to Rav Chisda. You've needed me until right now for 40 years because you never understood anything.
40 years is Bina, right?
Yeah. And it says, the Chazal say, it takes 40 years to understand your Rabbi. I don't know what that means. But
You would have thought that they would be more respectful to one another.
Well, they weren't. Ikabti adade, they were annoyed with each other. Velo aile legabi adade, and they didn't talk to each other. But then, interestingly enough, yati rav chista arbayin tanesa mishum dechalash date de rav huna. Yasi rav huna arbayin tanesa mishum dechalash date de rav chista. Rav chista did 40 fasts. He did 40 tanesim because of the way that he felt that he insulted Rav Huna, his Rebbe. And Rav Huna did 40 fasts because he felt that he had suspected Rav Chisda of something that he really wasn't guilty of. That he thought Rav Chisda was insulting him, and Rav Chisda was really just asking a question. Okay, Itmar. Rav Chisda bar Yosef Amar Rabbi Yochanan Halacha Rabbi Yehuda. Namely, that what's the halacha? Finally, kol sharov chachmasa, Rav Muvak, the person who taught you most of your chachma. Rav Acha bar Rav Huna Amar Rav Sheish is halacha k'Rabbi Yosi. He says the opposite. Umi Amar Rabbi Yochanan Achi. Did Rabbi Yochanan really say that the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda? That it's Rav Muvak. V'ha Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says something else. Halacha k'sta Mishnah. He usually says that the halacha is like a stam Mishnah. And what does that mean? V'tanan Rabo Shalimdo Chachma. My chachma, Rav chachmaso. Rabo shalimdo chachma. The Mishnah says Rabo shalimdo chachma. That's what our Mishnah says. And our Mishnah, the simplest reading of our Mishnah, is like Rabbi Meir. That is the one who taught you chachma. Because without any extra words, it's like the braces Rabbi Meir. And by the way, Rabbi Meir is usually Stam Mishnah, so it makes a lot of sense that it would be Rabbi Meir. Nevertheless, the Gemara says, "My Chachma, Rav Chachma." So, no, the Mishnah meant something else. The Mishnah meant Chachma, Rav Chachma. So Rabbi Yochanan really holds like Rabbi Yehuda. Okay. New thing. Tana Rabbanan. Ha'oskin b'mikra mida ve'eno mida. Person who's learning Tanakh, so he's talking about all of Tanakh, it's good, but it's not great. B'mishnah, mida, v'notlin ala eschar. Mishnah is good, and you get a lot of schar. Gemara, ein lecha mida gedola mizo. But there's nothing greater than Gemara. U'l'olam avirats the Mishnah, yosem in a Gemara. Whoa, wait a second. But you should always run to learn Mishnah more than you run to learn Gemara. Hagufa kasha. There's an internal contradiction here. B'gemara ein lecha mida gedola mizu, v'ada amarta ul'olam avirats l'mishnah yosem in a Gemara. Which one is better? Amar Rabbi Yochanan, b'mei Rabbi nishnas mishnah zu. It was in the time of Rabbi that this mishnah was taught, which is, you know, every mishnah. Okay. Shavku kula oma masnisen v'azul bazer gemara. Hadar darish lehu ul'olam avirats l'mishnah yosem in a Gemara. What happened? During the time of Rabbi, right? It was very important to study Gemara. Why?
Because it wasn't written down.
Because it wasn't written down, they needed to understand everything that was going on. The article has a whole long explanation of this, which I forgot. I think Rashi says it.
Rashi
gives a long explanation explaining that things were much simpler before the time of Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi. And so it was easy to remember the halachot and to understand the reasons for them. But then when the government started to get involved, they made things much more complicated and people started to forget things and people started to not understand halacha anymore. And so it was much more important to focus on the reasons behind all of the halachot. because if you didn't focus on the reasons, then you would get some of them wrong. But then people started focusing only on the reasons, and they forgot to memorize things, and they forgot to learn Mishnayot and know them really, really well. They didn't go over things. Rashi says, Milachzor al girsat mishnatam. They didn't do chazara. So that's why it was important that he said to get back to it. In other words, the pendulum swung too far one way, and then they had to swing back. It's reminiscent of the Nefesh HaChaim. Rav Chaim of Elazhin says that the history of Talmud Torah has a lot of these kinds of tkufos, and one of his problems with the times of Chassidut was he said it used to be that people used to learn only Gemara, Rashi, Tosfos. Then they became immoral people because they weren't thinking at all about Musar, so they started to learn Musar. And then they started to only learn Musar. And he says, during his time, people are just learning Sifra Yira, and you can walk into a base medrash, they don't even have full Shas. So you need to swing the pendulum back, and we need to kind of have a balance between them. That's what he writes in Shar Dalet of Nefesh Chai. It was a subtle jab at Chassidus. So that's why Gemara and Mishnah need to be balanced. Okay. My Darish. What does it mean when we say that Rebbe was Doresh, that you should run to the Mishnah? So, Kedarish Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Eli. Rabbi Yehuda Bar Eli, by the way, I was just pointing this out to my son, I believe whenever you see Rabbi Yehuda, I meant to check this up, whenever you see Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah, it's Rabbi Yehuda Bar Eli. He never gets a last name. It's Rabbi Yehuda Bar Eli, just like Rabbi Shimon is Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Pretty much. There's some exceptions, but we should know this because it helps you remember everything. My dichtiv haged la'ami pisham ulbeit Yaakov chatatam. What does this pasuk mean? We'll give the English translation first. Tell my nation of their willful transgressions and the house of Jacob their unwitting transgressions. So obviously the first thing you note when you look at this pasuk is that there's two different types of averas here, which are one of them is pesha and one of them is chet. And what's the difference between pesha and chet? Pesha is intentional, is on purpose, is mazid. And chet is usually shgaga. So, haged lami pisham, the one that talks about pesha, elu talmidei chachamim, sheshgagos nasos lehem kizdonos. Right, this is the reverse of the Gemara in Yoma. Right, Gemara in Yoma talks about tshuva and turning zonos into shgagos. How do you turn a shgaga into a zadon? Be a talmid chacham. Okay, so we'll figure out why. Ulebeis Yaakov chatasam elo amearetz shesdonos nasas lehem kishkagos. Amearetz, their purposeful transgressions end up being shkagos.
Excused.
Well, not excused, but at least considered to be accidents, mistakes. Right. So we're going to have to explain what this means. Am is bad. Am is usually actually bad in the Chumash. Am is bad in the Chumash.
Am is being referred to as Am in the Chumash.
Yeah, it is. That's B'nai Sha'am, right?
Yeah, B'nai Sha'am and B'nai Sha'am.
In Chumash, Am is bad. And actually, in fact, so bad that some of the Mepharshim say Am is usually the Erev Rav that entered into the Jewish people. That's, if you look, there's a beautiful teich that some of the Mepharshim have in the beginning of Parshas Beshalach, when it says, Paro saw that ki barach ha'am, which is weird, because they weren't barach, he let them go. Like, what does that mean? So, the pshat explanation is that he was expecting them to come back, and then they didn't come back, right? That's how we always, so there's some explanation that give, no, ha'am, or the Egyptians that he sent along with them in order to be like spies, like a fifth column, and they got converted. They converted. So kibarach ha'am, they were supposed to come back, and they're not coming back. Yeah. And what does he say there? Also, same thing, probably.
There's no reason for them to be afraid of them because there aren't many Jews. But Ha'om is Erev Rav together with the Jews.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's got that people.
Yeah, there's a lot of those. So Elo Amei Aretz is Donas Nasim Kishkagos. Vahinu Ditnan, and this is just like the Mishnah that says Rabbi Yehuda Omer have a Zayir B'Talmud Sheshegias Talmud Ola Zadim. Right, this Pirkei Avos. Rabbi Yehuda says, be careful about your learning because when you make mistakes, it's considered a zadon. It's strange because it's a mistake. How could it be a zadon? We have to explain this. The Rashi Rabbi Yehuda Bar Ilai, my dechtiv shimu dvar Hashem hacharedim al dvaro elu tamid chachamim achechem. This is getting back to the difference between Gemara and Mishnah and Mikra. Shimu dvar Hashem hacharedim al dvaro elu tamid chachamim. That's the charedim al dvaro. Imro achechem. Elu bale mikra, achechem is bale mikra. Sonechem elu bale mishnah. Minadechem elu ame haaretz. So the charedim is of course the talmid chachamim. The achechem, I don't know why they're only called achechem, but sonechem is bale mishnah. Why sonechem bale mishnah? Because there's always fights between people who learn mishnah and people who learn gemara. These people think they're more important. These people think they're more important. So, and then minadechem elu ame haaretz. Those are people who are far away. Shema Tomar Pasak Svaram Ubata Sikuyam. Maybe the Ami Aretz, they have no chance anymore. They're gone. Minadechem. They're Nidachim. Right? Uvao Aretz, Uvao Avdim Aretz Ashur, Uvani Dachem Aretz Mitzrayim. So, Ubata Sikuyam Tamalav, Renira Besim Chascha. No, they'll be there when everybody's, they'll be happy with everybody else. Shema Tomar Yisrael Yavoshu, Tamalomar Vem Yavoshu, Ovdi Kacham Yavoshu, Yisrael Yisamcho. Maybe it's referring to the non Jews. No, it's referring to the Jews. Okay, that's the end of the Gemara. Okay, now we have to go back. We're going to go over all of this. Don't worry. Okay, it's 9:11. We're good. So I'm going to go with the sheets now. Okay. Sheets. Go. All right.
Do you have a problem with the fact that there's a correlation here between physical ownership of something and the spiritual teachings that rabbis have given you? I mean, if you're going to lose something, it's an Olam Hazeh. Mazeh kashor of what he taught you about Olam Haba.
Well, I think you're hitting upon the question of what does it matter that he taught you stuff to do in Olam Haba? What does it matter?
What has that related to your physical property?
You tell me. What do you think?
You're saying that they're disconnected.
What do you think the Gemara means when it says, because he brought you to Olam Haba, that's why his...
So you need to owe him more so that you should give him in this world property?
I think so. I think it's a matter of gratitude, which is interesting. It doesn't matter that there's no sakhar, but you still are thankful to him that he gave you stuff that you get in the next world. If he said to you that he's going to support your grand
and a drink.
If somebody says to you, your great great grandchildren, I'm going to send them to college.
Okay, so
you'll never see them. So you'll never see them. So do you have a karas hatov towards them? Of course you do.
I think you do.
Of course you do.
Yeah, but is the way that you share a karas hatov to your rabbi through monetary, tangible things, or is the way that you share a karas hatov by giving spiritual reward back to him?
How do you give him spiritual reward?
Nathas.
That's good too. It's all good.
Like he gets close because he's taught you.
It's all good.
Monetary is left after. First of all, you know what the value is. Meshechet Zegel also talks about Shivyon freeing from
Pidyon
Shvuyim and all that stuff. It's left after monetary. Maybe you found his Sidur, lost his Sidur or his Filin or something. That's what you're telling me.
Sorry, hold on one second.
That's a nice idea, but I think it's pretty clear that they're saying the way that you need to get financially looking after your property as opposed to because he's taught you Torah.
I don't follow. For example, you have Trumas and Maisos that we give to the Kohanim because of the spiritual, because they have to be taken care of, right?
They have to be taken care of because they don't have their own land.
Right.
And I don't think that's a...
So this Rabbi, you have the opportunity to give him back his property. Doesn't he want his property? Aren't you doing a good thing for him? What does it matter that it's physical?
It doesn't say that you give him a gift. It's a service, actually.
It's about you. It's not about him. It's about you. It's your midah of hakar satov, I think.
Your value of something monetary or tangible for him is greater than you.
I actually think it's much more interesting that, let's say it wasn't your rabbi. Let's say it was just somebody who had done something nice for you, mm-hmm. right? So now I have to choose. I have two objects in front of me. One of them belongs to somebody who I don't even know, and one of them belongs to somebody who did a favor for me once.
So that's
much easier. But wait a second. Why should I place the one that did something for me before the one that did it? Why does it? These are lost objects. I have an obligation to return them to their owners. Why does it matter that I owe this person? That's what's interesting to me.
That's good. I think somebody you owe somebody. If you owe somebody, then.
But if let's say if they came to me and
like
based them.
A Rebbe has the if you're mixing in his sechar and him teaching you Torah, and that should be not. That shouldn't be.
I don't follow that one. But let me just ask you a different question. If I was a judge, right, in court, and two people came to me, and one of them had done me a favor and the other one hadn't, everybody knows that I'm not supposed to favor the one that had done me a favor, right? Oh. So why is it when I have two objects to return, I give back to the one that that did me a favor first? It seems a little bit, I don't know, it's surprising. That's what's interesting to me.
The one that did me a favor, I don't have a problem with that. I agree completely.
Why?
When you put the element of teaching Torah in.
Why do you think it's so simple? Why?
It should be Nagias.
Why is teaching Torah not a favor as well? It's a great favor you've done for me by teaching me Torah.
Okay.
Right,
if you look at it like that, then yeah, I agree.
It seems to be looking like that.
That's the
so let's dig in over there. Okay. So what's interesting is that there's another girsa that we don't have. This is the girsa of the Rif. Okay, it's the first source on the sheet. The girsa of the Rif says, "Vimaya aviv shakul keneged rabo." Avedas aviv kodemes aviv. Kodemes, sorry, kodemes. That word's from the next clause. Yes. So in other words, when the Mishnah said, remember when the Mishnah said, im aviv chacham, then he goes first. So the Rif says, only if he's a chacham just like the Rebbe. Well, that's interesting. He's limiting it, exactly. He's limiting it, basically making it actually meaningless. Basically making the clause meaningless, because then... What's the difference between your Rebbe and the father? There's no difference between them. They're both equal Talmidei Chachamim. So, of course, they're equal. He basically makes it meaningless.
Is it the amount of Chachma he's taught you, or how clever he is? We didn't understand.
So it's a good question. So take a look at the Pnei Yoshua. So is the Garsim Aviv Shakol Keneged Rabo Aviv Kodem? That's what the Rif says. Vein Laakshal Dim Kain Mai Kamashman. This is what I'm saying. Pshita Du Kodem. Obviously, if he's your father and he's on the same level as the Rebbe, then why wouldn't he go first? So this is the answer to your question, Simon. Mm-hmm. According to this, according to the Rif, it has nothing to do with what he's taught you at all. It only has to do with his level of chachma. And according to the Rif, it's all about who's the bigger chacham. K'mo shelamad aben rov chachmas mirabo v'kamashman da'afilu achi aviv kodem. It doesn't matter how much you learned from your Rebbe, as long as your father is on the same level, he wins. This is what he's pointing out, which is that the Rif only mentions this Shakul Keneged Rabo in the first clause. Matthew, this is what I meant when I said we'd get back to that. Yeah. Not the distinction that you made, that one they seem to gloss over, but this is a phantom distinction, one that the Rif makes that we couldn't have seen. He says that in terms of the Aveda, it's only when we're talking about the Aveda that it matters if they're equal, if he has equal amount of knowledge. But yes, Simon, getting to your point, it seems to be irrelevant whether the father has taught the son anything. If he's a Talmid Chacham, like the Talmid Chacham, then he goes first. If he's not, he doesn't.
Maybe on the other hand, it's like the Rif, which is it's covered the Torah.
No, I'm describing the Rif.
Right.
That's what I'm describing.
So it's cover the Torah. It's the fact that this is a great rabbi. He's, and therefore you should give him more respect.
Well, it seems to be that there's three steps here. The first is your father. Your father goes before everybody else. Then there's your Rebbe, who taught you Rov Chachmaso, regardless of how big of a Talmud Chacham he is, who goes in front of your father. And then there's your father, who's also a Talmud Chacham, even if he never taught you anything. Who goes ahead of your Rebbe, which is interesting.
I think that's implied. It's implied that your father taught you something.
But nobody. But the Pnei Yoshua, his understanding of the Rif, is that even if he didn't teach you anything.
I think if Lolemi Kokach.
Okay, you think he taught you something?
I think if he taught you nothing, because then why, if it's just a matter of Chokhmah, then why does it have to be a Rebbe?
Right, and also you have to explain the Mishnah. The Mishnah says because he takes you to Olam Haba. So you have to have something like that.
Yeah, I think the implication is that your father must have taught you, especially the Talmud Chacham, you're living in his house.
That is the way that most of the Rishonim read the Mishnah, that when he becomes, when they say, if he's a Chacham, it's because he's taught you something. I'm not sure that fits into the Pnei Yeshua and the Rif, because the Rif is really, really emphasizing that it's just about how much Chachma he has himself. And the Pnei Yeshua even targets it and says, that's because it doesn't matter how much he's taught you. Now, you may be right, Rabbi, that he's taught you a little bit. Does he have to have taught you a little bit? It doesn't sound like it. Although I agree with you that the Mishnah sounds like it, because the Mishnah seems that the most important thing about the fact that the Rebbe is the Rebbe is because he brings you to Olam Haba.
I think what tips it off here is the Kolkach.
I don't know. Maybe. You're saying that's unnecessary?
If I said, Imlom lo lamad im ma'ben at all.
Okay.
I hear. I think it's also difficult to conceptualize a father Talmud Chacham who didn't teach his son anything.
It is, well.
What do you mean? See families where you have a big brother and father, the kids often have big problems communicating.
Yeah, but it's not necessarily because the father didn't teach him anything.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. Now, but then take a look at the Rambam. The Rambam definitely did not have the Rifs Girsa. Just like he's chayev in kavod and mora of av, he's even more for his rabbi. Because your rabbi brings you to olam haba. By the way, guys, stick with me. You can't leave in the middle because there's something coming up soon, which you can't. It's if you miss it, then there's no point in coming tonight. So. Just giving you the preview. So the Rambam says basically what the Gemara says. Then he says, "V'chein imaya aviv tamid chacham, af api she'enu shakol keneged rabbo." He basically just explicitly rejects the Rif's Girsa. Mishiv avedas over mishiv avedas rabbo. As long as your father is a tamid chacham, even if he's not just like your Rebbe, if he's not shakol, nevertheless, he goes first. I would argue that in this case, Rabbi's probably right, because he also taught you a little bit. Meaning, the point of making him into a chacham is just to show that he has some amount of Torah knowledge that he could have imparted to the son.
Has to be.
I think so.
Because the first half of the Rabbah.
Exactly, because he emphasizes Miviola Chayolam Abba. I think so. Now, here's the problem, though. Look at the other Rambam. This is Rabbi Hilchos Gzela V'Aveda. Paga B'Avedas Rabbo, Im Avedas Aviv. Let's say he encountered an Aveda of his Rebbe and of his father. This is in Gzela and Aveda. The last one was in Talmud Torah. Im Aya Aviv Shako Keneged Rabbo, Shal Aviv Kodemes. Vim Lav, Shal Rabbo Kodemes. Huh. Bushiya Rabbo Muvak Shirov Chachamas Shatar Mimenu. What the heck, Rambam? What just happened? In one place, the Rambam says it doesn't matter whether his father is Shakol Keneged. And in the other place, he goes out of his way to say that it's only if his father is Shakol Karebi.
It's a long time.
This is not nice. There's a long time.
Changed his mind.
This is not cool.
He didn't have Safaria.
Right? This is not right. There's one author here. You can't say this is Rambam 1 and Rambam 2.
He agreed with the Rif in one case, and the other case didn't agree with him.
Yeah, what's the case, though? This is the same case.
He's still joking.
Yeah. It's the same case. What's going on here? What are we going to do?
He came across the Rif.
In the middle of the Mishnah Torah. The Rif lived 200 years far.
He found it in the Kara Geniza.
No. The Rambam work. This is his magnum opus. It's integrated. It's fully integrated. What's going on here?
They're different cases.
He worked really hard.
It's just crazy.
The Rambam.
They're different cases.
So good. So okay. So many of you have been with me for a long time. How do you deal with stiras? Well, the main way that we deal with them is unavailable to us, because the main way that the Gemara, whenever it sees a stira, right, a metive, the main way that it has, one of the main ways it has of dealing with is
fair text.
Is to say this comes from this person and this comes from that person. That's one easy way. This mission was written by that. This mission was written by that. That's not available to us. We can't do that. So what's the next best way? Matthew said it already. Got to be different cases. So let's take a look. So the Kesef Mishnah of Yosef Karo, author of the Shulchan Aruch, so he writes, V'nishal achad mibnei banav shel Avenu. They asked one of the grandsons of the Rambam about this. Okay? Al yishuv shtei lishonos alalu shel Avenu shesotrim zedze. V'heishiv, the grandson said, D'ksheeno rabba muvhak avabi she'en aviv shakol keben shutamid chacham aviv kodem. V'ainu adahacha. So he says the distinction is rabba muvhak. You'll notice that in Hilchos Gzela Vaveda, which words show up?
Rabba
Muvak. Which words don't show up in Talmud Torah? Rabba Muvak. So he says the difference is Rabba Muvak. If he's your Rabba Muvak, then in order to match up with that, your father has to be shakal. But if he's not your Rabbi Mubak, he's just a Rebbe, maybe a Rebbe, or maybe a Rebbe that taught you something, then it's good enough for him to just be a Talmud Chacham. Maybe because he's also taught you something. If he's not your Rabbi Mubak, then that just means he's taught you something once in a while. So presumably your father's also taught you something once in a while. That's, I guess, how you would touch that up. So that's what the grandson said. But when he's Rabbi Mubak, bin and shiyad avi shakol, vim lav shal Rabbi kodem. Fine. The Rabbi Yosef Karo is not convinced. He doesn't like the grandson's interpretation of his grandfather.
Because the Mishnah is a bearish on the Shulchan.
On the Rambam. Rabbi Yosef Karo wrote three major works, the Kesef Mishnah, the Beis Yosef, and the Shulchan Aruch, and many smaller works that people don't know about. Avkas Rochel. Yes. Avkas Rochel is a sefer of Shalos and Tshuvos. People don't know that. Avkat Rochel. It's just it's amazing how little it's quoted. And Magid Mesharim is his commentary on Eliyahu's revelations to him. It's not commentary. It's a whatever. It's a book on the things that angel came to tell him. Either way, so the Ketzer Mishnah is his commentary on the Rambam. Yes. So he does not like the Rambam's grandson's answer. Because the whole perek of Talmud Torah is talking about Rabbi Mubak. Just because he didn't say the word here, it's not a way out. After everything in Talmud Torah, the definition of Rabbo is Rabbi Mubak. There is no concept of Rabbo Sheinu Mubak in the Rambam. Doesn't exist. Vod shalomatzinu lo b'mishnah lo b'gemara sheyeh the Rabbo Sheinu Mubak shum kadima al aviv. How would the Rambam? Why would the Rambam say at the beginning of Hilchos Talmud Torah that your Rebbe goes before your father, if the maskana of the Gemara is that the only Rebbe who goes before your father is your Rebbe Muvak? There is no category of Rebbe Sheino Muvak in the Gemara. There were, but we rejected all of them, and the Rambam is codifying it. So what's the other way out?
No.
This is the least preferred way out.
Different case.
No, least.
Change the case.
Yeah. So he drops the Hagos Maimonios. Hagos Katfu the Toso for Yeshkan. He thinks that the Rif is right and the Rambam really meant like the Rif, and just left out. What's amazing is that, I mean, look, what did he do? In Talmud Torah it says, Afa pi she'enu shakol. So you have to turn that into Im hu shakol. Right? So, yeah, he was stuck.
You said we couldn't miss.
What?
That's really disappointing.
Look, that's chasuri machsura in the Gemara, right? It's missing something. Yeah, it happens. Look, it happens. There are definitely typos. There's no doubt about that. There are typist errors. Sometimes we have explanations for them. Sometimes we don't, you know? If there was somebody sfarad to hear it, I would ask them if they eat fish and milk.
Yeah, exactly.
And we'd have a discussion about that. That's supposedly a Torah sofer in Rav Yosef Karo, in the Beis Yosef. That he, Rav Yosef Zobit, says that you're not allowed to have fish and milk. It's probably supposed to say fish and meat. So that's why they don't have lox and cheese. If you have a Ashkenazi bris milah in Chutz La'aretz, you have to have bagels and lox. And the Sfardim can't eat.
Yeah, that's why we didn't have it on Sunday.
Yeah. So, that's his answer. His answer is that there is a Taut Sofer. How about some other answers? So you have from the Shut Tashbetz, jump to the end. He just says, Ki b'hilchas Talmud Torah diber ba'aviv shalim dochachma, or b'hilchas gzela ba'aviv shalolim dochachma. So he inverts it and uses the Pnei Yoshua. Right? He takes the Pnei Yoshua's teretz for the or explanation for the riff, and uses it to fix the steer in the Rambam, like what Matthew's saying, two different situations. But he doesn't say that the distinction is in the Rebbe. He says the distinction is in the father.
Yeah. Yeah.
That when the Rambam says that the father doesn't have to be shakal to his Rebbe, that's because he teaches his son Torah. But where he says that the father has to be shakal to his Rebbe, that is if he doesn't teach his son Torah.
So
he still has to respect his Torah, but he doesn't have to. But only if he's as big a Rebbe, as big as Talmud Chacham.
It's ironic though, because if he's shackled to his Rebbe, then he should be teaching him Torah.
Yes, maybe he wanted to. Who knows?
Yeah, yeah.
So finally, we get to the Lecha Mishnah. The final thing is the Lecha Mishnah. He says that the difference is Yev Shalash Vela Aveda Achatz VaHacheres Tovad the Gamrei LeKach Kamer de LaHakdim. So this is a very interesting explanation. He says that the difference is actually not in the Rebbe or in the father, but in the case itself. And this gets back to the distinction that we were making beforehand, which is, are we talking only about Kadima, who goes first, or are we also talking about a situation where one of them may not get his stuff back? What happens if you're talking about a situation where if you go for the father's, then the Rebbe is not going to get his back, or if you go for the Rebbe, then the father's not going to get his back? Or you're talking about a situation where they're both going to get it back, and it's just a matter of who goes first. What do you think? So here he says that if you're talking about that the one is going to get Yev Shalashiv Ela Avida Achas VaAcheres Tova LeGamrei LeKach Kamar DeLaHaktiv Aviv LeRabo. If they're going to lose it, then your father goes first. Shehei Shakol Mishum. Being Aviv LeRabo, being Shehei Shakol. That's when he has to be shakol. Mishum Shel Rabo Nevedes LeGamrei. That's when the father has to be a big Talmid Chacham in order to return it over the Rebbe. Aval B'Shnei Achalukas Achronas. If it's just a matter of who goes first, then as long as the father is even a little bit of a Talmid Chacham, he goes first. You hear?
Yeah. Makes sense.
And I believe the reason he says this is actually the word kadim. Yeah, no, actually the word kadim goes in both places, I think. It says v'acharka, yeah. Yeah, the truth is if you look in Hilchos Talmud Torah, it says, so that case has to be a case where it's possible to give them both back, because he says v'acharkach. Whereas in the other one, he says kodemet. I know that that's in time, but it also could just mean it takes priority. Because, for example, benching, right? Kohen kodem lekol adam in benching, right? We said that's a dinei kedima, and it's not like you can do both. There's such a thing as priority. So that's how the Lecha Mishnah is very. So we saw four different ways of solving the stira. One is just to say it's a taut sofer, and the other three are to play with the case. One is to play with the father, one is to play with the Rebbe, and the other is to play with the actual situation. Yeah, very creative, no?
Nice.
Creative ways of fixing this. Explicit stira, the Rambam.
It's a bit too creative. There's nothing in the text.
Well, I think, I like the Lecha Mishnah. Yeah, I like the Lecha Mishnah.
They all work. There's a logic to all three of them. I don't like the Talmud.
Wouldn't it be better to start from the context, though? I mean, the one's talking about Talmud Torah and giving the Aved as an example of respect for Talmud Torah, but really what if the context is dealing with Talmud Torah? Whereas the other one is dealing with Hilchot Zeilev Aveda. That's actually what it's dealing with. I don't know where I'm going with this, but maybe that the context may be a better way to understand it than the trying to read something into the...
It would help, yeah. In other words, why does the Rambam not just put all of this into one of the places?
No, the Rambam is dealing with the Hilchot Talmud Torah. He's saying Hilchot Talmud Torah, you got to respect your Rebbe and your father, which is more. Your Rebbe is more.
Yeah.
So as an example, as a mashal, if you find that something there's in the street, you should give your father's bed. He's not really dealing with the mahut of the situation of Aveda. He's dealing with the mahut of the situation of Talmud Torah.
But it's strange that he's so particular, though. He didn't even have to say shakel, not shakel. He didn't have to say it.
It is. But with Gzal and Aveda, he's dealing with the specific halakha of Aveda. We expect him to be more specific on the actual halakha of the Aveda, as opposed to being an example of something he's trying to put in the Talmud Torah.
Maybe. Not sure, yeah. Maybe.
I mean, it doesn't explain why they did after that stira.
Yeah. Okay, here we go. You ready? This is the important part. All right, so at this point, things are not looking good for dads. I remember, I think it was Rav Shachter who said this, but I heard it from somebody else. He said one time they had been learning the sugya, and then he ran into one of his Talmidim's parent, a father or mother or something like that, in some other context. And she says, ah, so you're the one who's been telling my son that if it's me or you, then you get saved first. Like something like that. So what's the deal? Is that true? Is that, if your kids have ever learned with me, right? Does that mean I'm in a better situation than all of you? So not so fast.
You should have said tomorrow.
So not so fast. If you're ever at a cocktail party, or no, if you're sitting around the table on Shabbos and your kid just came back from yeshiva and is telling you all about how his Rebbe is more important than you are, you pull out this Ramah that I'm about to show you. All right? You ready? So first we go through Shulchan Aruch, because I love going through the Shulchan Aruch after we've learned the sources inside, so we can see how all of it is condensed, right, in Rav Yosef Karo's Shulchan Aruch. Avedas Aviv Avedas Rabo Hamuvak. Right? The Ramah drops that in. Avedas Rabo Kodemes. V'imaya Aviv Shako Keneged Rabo Avedas Aviv Kodemes. So he's taking the Rif Skirsa. All right? And the second Ramah. And that makes sense because he thought it was a Talmud Sofer in the Rambam, and that this is the correct Girsa. Haya Avi v'Rabo Nosin Masoi Miniach Shrabo v'Achar Kach Miniach Shaviv. Haya Avi v'Rabo Omdim Beis Hashavi Podeas Rabo v'Achar Kach Podeas Aviv. V'im Haya Avi Tamid Chacham Podeas Avi v'Achar Kach Podeas Rabo. He's mimicking the Mishnah. First clause of the Ramah. V'chein Mefarik Masao Kodem L'Rabo V'Afa Bishenu Shalko B'Chach Makarabo. This is Mefarik. This is. You know, taking the stuff off of their shoulders. Aval ein machzer avedas aviv kodem ad sheyeshalgo keneged rabo. He buys that also. This is his shita as well. Here's the main line. Yesh omer had rabo kodem laaviv haynu shalom inu mal bechinam. Aval im aviv socher lo rabbi umelamdo aviv kodem lechol davar v'chein nira li iker. Now this is probably based on the Sefer Chassidim, probably based on the Meiri, who writes in his commentary that all of this stuff about the Rebbe taking precedence is when he's learning Bechinam. What's the explanation?
He's taking the din of the father. It's the father's obligation.
Why does the Rebbe go first? What does the Mishnah say? Because the father only takes him into this world.
Right.
But the Rebbe takes him to the next world. But if the father is paying the Rebbe, then the father is also taking him to the next world. In other words, you don't have to teach your son to be part of his education. You pay for it, which we all do. Right? This is a huge Rambam.
No, according to the Rambam. The Rambam says you can't take money for teaching Torah. So therefore, by definition, that would never be the case.
Yeah, well, no, you can't take money for learning Torah.
It's funny, I was thinking about that. That's a big fight. The father's got an obligation to teach his son Torah. If the Rebbe is teaching for free,
right,
it's like he's stepped into the father's shoes to take that obligation.
Okay.
In a sense. So that's why he's the cover that you're giving, if you're choosing between them, at that point the Rebbe is now taken on more than just the Rebbe who's being paid. He is being like the father to do that mitzvah that the father's supposed to do.
Okay.
Going the other way around.
Yeah, saying the other way around. Okay, I'm not sure. I don't think that's not the way the Sefer Chassidim says it. So, and the Shach says, what is the Shach? No, that's something else. Okay.
Where a Talmud can decide where he wants to learn, even if his father doesn't want him to learn there. If his father's paying for his schar limud, it's adayin lo tzach lishmo lekol aviv.
No, I don't think so. I mean, the father can always say, "I'm not going to pay. If you're going to go to the yeshiva, I don't like it." But I don't think so. I don't think so. Because, I mean, it's like choosing another mitzvah over a kibbutz, which we don't do. If your father tells you to do something against the Torah, then you don't listen to it. So yeah, even if he tells you to learn in this yeshiva and you think it's better for you to learn in that yeshiva, it's the same thing. He's telling you.
And therefore, you don't need to listen to him.
No.
Unless he's paying for it.
If he's paying for it,
you've got no choice.
And you have no choice, then you've got to listen to him. But
the father. He's prepared to pay for it. The question is whether the son is allowed to say, "No, I don't want to learn there because I don't need to listen to where you tell me to learn."
He is allowed to.
You have a mechuyavut to pay me to learn, and therefore I'm the one that chooses where I learn, but you need to pay.
The son,
or the minute the father
doesn't
pays,
need to. He doesn't need to pay. The father doesn't need to pay. Father can just say, "I'm not going to pay." First of all, once the son reaches a certain age, his obligations drop drastically.
The Lashon there is Talmud. I don't know what Talmud means. The father still needs to pay. No idea.
He doesn't have to. I mean, legally he does, but doesn't have to. The obligations of a father to teach a son drop significantly once they reach a certain age.
Okay, so let's say he's within the period that he is obligated to teach him.
Well, then the son's not going to be able to decide that anyways. The point is that the son is always going to be able to say, I want to learn where I want to learn. What the father does with that is up to him. They can have a legitimate fight. The father will say, I will only pay if you learn here.
The Shofar says that he doesn't need to listen to what his father says.
But it's like the marriage case. That's because there's no money involved. That's just the son can decide.
So that's why I'm saying, once the money becomes an element...
It's a totally different story.
It's a completely different story.
By definition, because the father's not in control.
That's not a halakhic issue. That's just the social family dynamic issue.
Halakhically. Because it becomes dilim mamonas as opposed to the nikibud obeying.
You're saying the son is not allowed to take... Well, I think what you're suggesting is, can the son secretly take the money and go to a different yeshiva against his father's wishes? That's stealing. No.
I'm not suggesting that. I'm suggesting when we added here the element of paying, the respect goes from the rav to the father.
Right.
Right? So that there seems to be an element here of money. Once money becomes involved, then...
In the sense of support. It's not like money, like he has a property. It's his property. It's not like that at all. It's not like he has a legitimate claim on it or anything. He's been part of the education, so he's also supporting his sons. In fact, the Shach makes a fascinating comment. He says, "What happens if it's not the father that's paying the boy? That's paying the Rebbe? What happens if it's a third party? That's the uncle. So you have the uncle paying the Rebbe, and then you have two avedas in front of you."
The
Veda of the uncle and the Veda of the Rebbe. Shach says, "Ima Rav lo ya rotel lamdo ela beschirut v'yudi o yehudim notnim lo aschirut lamdo as avedat bal hanotein kodem."
Wow.
Uncle goes. The rich uncle goes first.
Wow. It's all the money.
The one who's the minia.
I don't think it's the essence of the money. It's the essence of enabling the education.
Yeah. So that's a really important Roma. But no, the Rama says v'chein yireh le'ikar. You're right that the Beis Yosef doesn't mention it. The Shulchan Aruch doesn't mention it, even though it's in the Meiri. But he might have not even had the Meiri, so that could be why. The Sefer Chassidim, I don't know if he had it or not.
Probably did not.
The Meiri, neither of them had the Meiri.
The
Meiri came out.
The Shulchan Aruch for the Rama.
Yeah, the Meiri is one of these amazing stories where it appeared.
Got rediscovered
in 17th, 18th century, something like that. Even though he's from the time of, the Rashba and the Ritva. And he was huge. He was really big. Just disappeared and then came back. So, yeah. Okay. Now, Shita Mikubet says, we'll skip that. Let's go do the Shulchan Aruch over here. I told you we'd get back to it. This is on the first clause of the Gemara. Misha avdil avedo paga bavedaso babadas chavero. If it's between your aveda and your friend's aveda, im yachol lachzor shtan chayav lachziram. If you give them both back, you have to. V'im lo yachzir shelo. Take care of yourself first. Shafidaso kodemus afilu lavedas avi v'raba. Kedidashina meves liyabachav yon. All right, so far so good. Vavapi ken yesh lo adam likanis lifnim mishur asadin v'lo ledaktek v'lo mar shalikodem im lo behefsed muchach. Don't do this unless you're absolutely sure that you're going to lose your stuff. And if you're constantly like this, you're the kind of person that always looks out only for yourself, well, you're going to have a reason that you have to look out for yourself. The Sma, say from Yeras Einayim, says, you can always rationalize. If it's between you and your friend, you can always rationalize and say, look, I'm really worried I'm going to lose my investment here. I'm really worried I'm going to lose my stuff. You can always say that. So that's why you should get used to saving your friend first. The Shach. Remember we were talking before about Rav Chochma, so how many Rebbes do you have? So we said, you have one Rebbe. Shach doesn't think so. Yesh lomar shelamad etzel zeh Rav Chochma so b'mikra. Veitzel zeh Rav Chochma so b'mishnah. Veitzel zeh Rav Chochma so b'shas. Veitzel zeh Rav Chochma so b'medrash v'agados. Veitzel zeh Rav Chochma so b'kabbalah v'kayotze b'zeh b'shar Chochma so Torah. He thinks you can have a rabba muvhak in every area of Chochma. Fascinating. So the Shach says. Okay. Now getting to the Mishnah versus Gemara dynamic. to deal with that. So the Toras Chaim, hold on, let me just turn off my Bluetooth so I save the battery. Okay. So the Toras Chaim commentary says, Nira, the fisha ozik b'torah ikar kabbalah scharo al zvaros, the mizbar kasavar, umedame milson lemilson shu amal b'torah. So he suggests, I think this is just alpi svara, he says, literally, that the benefit of Gemara is that you are, you have to involve yourself in it. You have to think about it. You have to weigh arguments back and forth. So there's an amelus there. And lefum tzara agra, and the same, one of the same Gemaras that mentions that, it says that agra de pirka svara. That's what he quotes over here from the Gemara in Brachos, right? Quote it. Agra de shmaita svara. The reward for learning is given for the thinking, for svara. It's the same Gemara that says agra de avelos or something like that, shtika. The reward that you get when you go to a house of mourning is for being quiet. In other words, that's what you're supposed to be doing when you go to a house of mourning. Same Gemara says you're supposed to be quiet when you go to a house of mourning. So the same Gemara says that what are you getting rewarded for when you learn? For the thought that you put into it, for the amelus that you put into it. V'zeh shayach kishu ozik b'mishnah v'chol shekin b'shas tafukia ozkin b'mikra l'kach einot din schara kolkach. Okay, so it says that when people learn mikra, there's not as much amelus. Now, I don't know what that means exactly, because if it means like just reading Tehillim, or reading the parasha, then I understand what that means. But if you're talking about what they're doing in the Gush these days, you know, what Rabbi Foreman is doing, that everybody should come to on Wednesday night because it's the best shiur he gives, so everybody should come. I'm just putting that out there. No, it's not even cheap. I'm telling you right now. This is the shiur that I got hooked on, what he's going to say on Wednesday night, and I'm still going, even though I know exactly what he's going to say. It's absolutely amazing, so I would encourage everybody to go. So the stuff that he does requires a lot of thought. It requires knowledge, it requires analysis, and it requires fact-checking. So I don't know if that's what the Gemara means.
It's a different type of...
I don't know what they meant by mikra. I don't know what they meant
by... That's probably not what they meant. Probably the way they learned it then was just remembering it. You learned it to remember it.
Probably,
there's a different point as well. That's a teacher five.